so assured and convinced in what I'm about to say. I guarantee you that within 6 months' time, if you put into practice and actually do everything that you just said you were going to do, that you will not be able to come to me and honestly say to me, my life is no different than it was then. I guarantee it. I guarantee, and you know, 6 months is not that long. Oh, Pastor, I need a change today. Yeah, you do. But big changes always start from little changes. Write it down in your Bible. Take the challenge. How many of you know what the ice bucket challenge is? This is the relationship challenge. Take it. I guarantee you this will work. Go ahead and take your seats if you would. Well, praise God. I'm glad that you came here this evening. I'm going to need to get some lights on if we could, at least the side lights, so I don't trip when I'm out there acting a fool tonight. Great series. Pastor Lisa, are you going to stick around over here? Could we do that second song at the close of the service? Let's do that second song at the close of the service and be prepared to do that. How many of you guys would say, Pastor Richard, I don't have one good worship CD in my house to listen to? Really? Honestly, I'm not asking you this to make you feel less than. I'm asking you this because I want to give you something if you don't have it. How many of you say, I do not have a worship CD at all? Would you do me a favor before you leave tonight? Would you please come see me if you're honestly saying I don't have a CD that I can worship to at home? I want to get you one. I'm going to take down your names and we'll get you one next week because you need to spend time worshiping God. And the thing about this is you won't worship if you don't like what you're, if you don't like. So you need to find a style of worship that works for you, that draws you into a place of worship. And then you need to actually worship, okay? So come see me, and I want to make sure that we can get you something that you can put in the car, in the CD player of your car, and that you can drive through town and listen to and sing to Jesus. Something that when you're at home and your kids are going crazy and your spouse is going crazy, you can slip into your secret place and put on a CD and begin to listen to it so that you can have peace come into your life. Would you do that? I mean, if you say, I'd do that. If you'd give me the CD, I'll listen to it. Well, you know, a lot of people listen to music all the time. Lift up your hand if you'd say, I like listening to music. Problem is, most people are listening to music that's not going to build them up. It's music that's sucking them down. It's music that is stirring a part of them that should be crucified to the cross. And there's people who would say, Pastor, I just don't agree with you. I can listen to AC/DC and it doesn't affect me at all. Well, look at yourself. You really think that's true? You're as messed up as anybody I've ever met. You really think that the music you listen to doesn't have a factor in the success of your faith? Good night. I mean, some people need a picture drawn for them. I just gave you one. Look in the mirror. It ain't working. You got to start doing something different. How many of you would say, whoa, that's true? It's true. You got to sell out to Jesus, man. You can't have one foot in Metallica and one foot in church and expect it to work. Because it won't. It will not work. It's not going to work. Why do I know that's true? John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but me. You think Jesus listened to AC/DC? You think Jesus listened to all the stuff that we listen to? No, Jesus said, I only do that which I hear from my Father. There was only one person that Jesus paid attention to. There was only one person that he cared to hear from, and it was God. And if we want to walk in the kind of life, and if we want to share in the kind of victory that Jesus wants us to share in, then we've got to make up our mind to be like Christ. Jesus said, the only thing that matters to me is hearing from God, because what I hear from God, I then do. What God says to me, I then live out. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life. It cannot be done, and it will not work any other way. If you believe that, say amen. If you don't say nothing at all. Just stare forward, and nobody will know that you are deceived. It won't work any other way. I wish I could tell you that it would, but I'd be lying to you. I wish I could tell you that it's okay to, but it's not. So I said before, going to say it again, truth has literally been hijacked It's been hijacked. I mean, I can't. There are things going. How many of you have seen things on the news and you listen to what's going on in the world and you think, dear God, how could we be so dull? How can we be so blind not to see the writing on the wall? Truth is really hijacked. 19% of born-again believers have a biblical worldview. And we're going to talk about some things right now that we've not yet talked about. But that is not lost people up at the tavern. That is people who go to church on Sunday and call themselves born-again Christians. When surveyed and interviewed, only 19% of the people interviewed actually had a view of issues according to the Bible. In other words, when they were asked questions like, what do you think about homosexuality? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? That they actually gave the answer that Jesus would give. Only 19%. Truth is hijacked. And I spent some time today praying and meditating, trying to figure out a way to communicate to you why that is. And it's very simple. You know, there was a time when parents read the Bible. Moms and dads read the Bible. They really did read the Bible. I was just in a country just a few weeks ago. I'm not making this up. Pastor JoJo was with me, her home country. Pastor Luke was with me. Dan Doherty was with me. He's not here this evening. Do you know that they pray to God on a daily basis so they can have water to drink? So they can have water. They pray. They believe God for water. Because without God, they know they're going to die. The missionary said, Pastor, we're running low on water. The hotel owner said, hey, watch flushing the toilet so many times. Watch taking long showers. Watch doing those things because we're very short on water. The missionary that we was working with said, Pastor Richard, in this country, you learn to walk by faith because you believe God for everything, even the simplest things, water. See, we have gotten away from a time and an age in which people in this country had to believe God for everything. People once had to pray for everything because they had nothing. And now we live in a day in which we have everything, but we lack the one thing. And so we still have nothing. I can remember when we were over there, Pastor Steve, he said to me, because we are trained. We really are lorded by time. Pastor Steve said, Richard, the first thing you'll learn in the Marshall Islands is this. You Americans have all the watches, but you have no time. On the islands, we have no watches, and we have all the time in the world. And they really do. I mean, they're not in a hurry for anything, and life is so much different. Parents read the Bible, and guess what else parents did? Parents didn't send their kids to Wednesday night ministries hoping that Royal Rangers and girls ministries would teach their children the right things. Really, a lot of parents send their kids to church on Wednesday night so they can do the wrong things and have a free babysitter while they do it. That's the facts, Jack. But there was a day when people read the Bible because they valued the teachings of the Bible, and they taught their children what God taught them. And so people started to share the views of the Bible. It was the primary foundation of perception, the way people viewed the world, morality, what's right and what's wrong, how we should live, how we should not live, the way we should build our country, the way we should treat one another, the laws that were made. Do you know that the Bible was a formative factor in all of those things? It's not that way no more. Families went to Bible preaching churches. And I'll tell you something, my grandmother, and I can remember even as a little boy, what mattered to folks one time wasn't what the new flashy thing is, but what's being preached and what's being taught, and is it sound and does it line up with the Bible? And that's not the way anymore. Those things don't, there aren't even doctrinal loyalties. You have people who've been Pentecostal their whole life and jump ship and go to a church where they don't even believe in the power of the Holy Spirit anymore. What in the world is wrong with that? That's insane. Questions about morality. We didn't need judges to tell us if it was sinful. We didn't need teachers to teach us if it was right or wrong. Because people opened up the Bible and learned what was right and what was wrong. The Holy Spirit taught us. Those things have changed. And now we live in an age in which our worldviews, our ideologies, what we accept as truth, it's being taught to us by Hollywood. It's being taught to us by sports stars. And the problem with that is, and I want to make something clear, we just did a mega kids sports camp. There are Christian athletes out there, but there are not that many. There's not that many. And let me say something to you. There's a lot of Christian athletes, so-called Christian athletes, that are not Christian athletes. They say they're Christian, just like a lot of... You ever noticed almost every politician says they're a Christian? You know why they say that? To get your vote. They say that so you'll vote for them. But I'll tell you something. When you got people standing for something that the Bible calls sin and passing laws to legalize what the Bible calls sin, they are not a Christian. Jesus said you will know them by their fruit. It's a fact. If you are a Christian, you follow Christ. You live the way Christ lives. You practice what Christ practices in his life. Why? He said, I am the way. He said, my sheep know my voice. They don't follow a shepherd that doesn't have my voice. They only listen to me. They only follow me. Jesus said that in John chapter 10. There's an educational system. And I don't mean to do anything that will be disrespectful to anybody who is in education. I know Pastor Lisa is a teacher, and I always got to watch what I say about education because I don't want to tick off any good Christian teachers. And there are many good Christian teachers. Many good Christian teachers who love Jesus. But the system is a liberal system that is engaging people away from God and tying hands and has an agenda. And the agenda is to remove God from everything. 1962. Removing prayer from school. 1963, remove the Bible from school. And you can nearly trace almost every major problem that we have today from that moment on. I mean, school problems started to increase. Teenage pregnancy started to increase. Alcohol addiction and drug addiction amongst young people started to increase. Why? The Bible is the foundation of morality. The Bible is what teaches us. This idea that, well, you know, just get people saved and let the Holy Spirit teach them. Well, that would really work if people would, one, listen to the Holy Spirit, and two, read the Bible so the Spirit would speak to them. Problem is, most people are not doing either of those. And so what they need is somebody to preach the truth to them. Amen. Liberal educational system. The internet. I told you before, I can remember asking the class that I taught at the Christian school, if you have a question that you don't know the answer to, how do you find the answer? You know what they said? Google it. And you know, I don't know about you, but I've learned that not everything you read on the internet's true. You got to watch what you read on the internet. You might read something that somebody wrote about you. I've had that happen before. Somebody get upset about Pastor Richard and go to Facebook and tell the whole world about it. John 18, 36 through 38. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest. Jesus was arrested and he was standing before Pilate. He was in court basically trying to, they were trying to decide what to do with him. He said, but now my kingdom is from another place. Pilate said, you are a king then? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world was what? To testify to the truth. Jesus said, I came to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Listen to what Pilate says. Because this really represents us as a people and in our culture and our society today. Pilate gave this answer. What is truth? With this, he went again to the Jews. He gathered there and he said, I find no basis for a charge against him. See, there's this idea, this undertowing thought amongst society today. Oh, truth, truth, who cares? What's true to Mike may not be true to me. And if it's not true to me, then it's not truth. How many of you have ever had that kind of attitude before? Well, you know, I know Rebecca says this, but that's not the way I see it. And I know that Jennifer says this is wrong, but I don't see it that way. Let me just tell you, that's not the way the world turns. What if I got up on that balcony tonight and said, I don't believe that gravity exists? What if I did that? What if I climbed up there and said, you know what, Mike? I know you say gravity is truth and that it's a law and that, you know, what goes up must come down, but I just don't believe in that. Guess what? If I jump, I'm going to find out real quick that Mike knew what the truth was and I did not. Because truth is not relative. There is absolute truth. I want to say it again. It's absolute truth. It's not truth because you believe it. It's not truth because I say it's truth. It's truth because Jesus is the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? Listen to this statement that Jesus makes. I was thinking about this today, and you know, I wish I would have had time to count the number of times he said these two words in the Bible. Jesus said, verily, verily, that's the way the King James Bible says it. It literally translates, truly, truly, I say to you. Listen to some of the things that Jesus said. Truly, truly, I say to you. And why do you think it is that Jesus came? Remember what he just said to Pilate. He said, I came to testify to the truth. Because much like our culture, much like our society, Jesus came at a time in which there was a lot of confusion, religious confusion. There were a lot of people who were confused, as I just said, in our time in worship there. The book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, there's a 400-year period between those two books where there's not one recorded word from the Lord, not one. There was a silent period. People were not hearing from God. The rabbis that were teaching, they all had a little bit of a different spin on things. One rabbi taught it this way, another rabbi taught it this way, and the people could decide for themselves which rabbi they wanted to follow. That's how it was. Nobody really had a relationship with God and couldn't have a relationship with God. People were trapped. They were steeped in tradition. I mean, the traditions of each rabbi would say, this is the way you need to do it. And another rabbi would come along and say, well, I like what he said, but I think we need to do this also. And there were all kinds of traditions that were implemented, and people were lost in those things, and they were caught up in a system where they thought that if they do good, they could please God. All these things that we struggle with today, this is what was happening in Jesus' time. And Jesus said, I came to testify to the truth. And so many times in the scripture, I took some instances from John's gospel where Jesus confronted the popular lies of the day, the popular mistruths of the day, and he corrected them by saying, no, truly, truly, I say to you. Let's listen to some of these verses. John chapter 6, verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I mean, if you know, that's an absolute truth. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. John 12, 24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus taught this idea that we have to die so we can live, and he used himself as an example. He said, look, this kernel of wheat that you see, this body, this life that is living before you, it's just a seed. And in a few short days, I'm going to die. That seed is going to be buried. And because that seed is buried, because that seed dies, it's going to bear much fruit. And each and every one of us are here today because of Jesus and the seed that he sowed, his life. Amen. And it's our model. It's our example. But how many people do you know who live for themselves and think that it's okay? Who think that they come to church to get their needs met and never have to consider meeting somebody else's? You know, we live in a day in which every person, I'm telling you, old people think that young people think this way, but yet when they don't play the music they want at church, they throw a fit. Yeah, it's so true. We are an entitled people. In our mind, we think the world owes us. And that is not the way that Jesus lived. Jesus said, kernel of wheat must die in order to produce fruit. How many of you want to produce Christ-like fruit in your life? Then you've got to lay down your life. Who cares if your feelings get hurt? You don't think Jesus' feelings got hurt when they were spitting on him, when they were mocking him, when they were ridiculing him, when they slapped him across the face when he was blindfolded and said, oh, you're a prophet. Who just slapped you? You don't think his feelings could have been hurt? He chose to put aside his feelings. He chose to lay down his life. Why? To show us the way. Another verse, John 16, 20, truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Jesus was fixing to die. He was telling his disciples, I'm going to go. I'm going to die at the cross. And you're going to weep and you're going to mourn. And the sorrow is going to be more than you can bear. How many of you have ever had a day like that? A time like that in your life. But Jesus said, truly, truly, I tell you, though that sorrow may feel so real, and though it may feel like it's going to destroy you, truly, truly, I tell you that your weeping will be turned to joy, glory to God. That's the truth.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
John 3:3, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, listen, unless a man is born again, he will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Ask somebody, do you think you're going to go to heaven when you die? 99% of the people you ask will say, well, I think so. And when you ask them, what makes you think so? They'll say, well, I'm a good person. Listen, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born again, he will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It didn't matter how much money he sent to feed the children. It didn't matter how many wells he drilled in Africa for thirsty children. If you're not born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, Pastor, I'd give my shirt off my back to anybody in need. That doesn't get you to heaven. That shirt's going to fade away. It's going to rot. It's going to go back to the earth that it came from. But God's Son died, and his blood is the only thing that can redeem. John 5:19. Listen to this. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, listen, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, this is the thing that the Son does in like manner. Jesus was talking. They was questioning his teaching. They was questioning his motive. They was questioning the works that he was doing, because it went against their teaching. It went against their ideas. And they were. And Jesus said, I want you to know something. Truly, truly, I say to you, what you see me doing is only what I see and hear from the Father. Another verse, John 6:32. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. Remember, the people were lost in religious tradition. And Jesus came to correct that. Jesus said, look, you're wrong in what you think, even about great people of God. John 6:53, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone, listen, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm not a slave to sin. I can stop anytime I want to. You're a fool. I won't say that to you in love. I first want to tell you I love you, but then I want to tell you you're a screwball if you believe that. Jesus said you're a slave to sin. Truly, truly, I tell you, anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I was. Do you hear what Jesus is correcting all the wrong ideas and all the wrong thoughts of the day? He says over and over and over again in the Gospels, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you. Why? Because Jesus came to testify to the truth, to a generation that was lost, to a generation that was confused, to a people who were steeped in religion and all these things that so many of us are trapped in, and so many ideas that we have that are actually holding us back from what God really desires to do. Jesus came to testify of the truth. He said, truly, truly, I say unto you. Many of us, as I said before, we make the same mistake that Pilate made. Oh, what is truth anyway? Truth is what we perceive it to be. Truth can be one thing for you and it can be something different for me. I don't see it that way, so it's not truth. Let me ask you something though. What happens when what you call truth and what I call truth collide? For instance, somebody says homosexuality is sin. Somebody says, I don't believe that. God made us that way. This is the truth that I accept. You accept one truth, I accept another. You understand there's only one truth. And sooner or later, those truths will collide. You understand? Like me getting on the balcony and saying that gravity doesn't exist. When I jump off the balcony, guess what? truth and truth. Huh? The floor. That's proof that the truth is there's gravity. And them two truths are going to collide. And see, here's the big dilemma that we're in today. People don't want to believe the truth. And so they try to convince themselves of a lie. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." There are some absolute truths. Look at me. They're absolute truths. They don't become true when you accept them as truth. They're true. Long before you ever knew them, long before you ever heard about them, long before you ever said, "I agree with that," it was the truth. And that truth had the power to change your life long before you ever even heard of it. Here's some absolute truths of the Bible, just like we sang about in that song, "I Believe." Jesus is the only way to heaven. I want to say to you tonight, I've read this from people who come to this ministry on Facebook, on posts that they've made, that the God of Islam and the God of the Bible are the same God. You're wrong, friend. They are not the same God. The God of the Bible is so vastly different than the God that is revealed in the Quran. They're nowhere near the same. Listen to what I'm saying. It's not that Muslims call their God Allah and we call our God Jehovah, but they're the same. That you cannot get two different. I'm talking about, it's like taking Lisa and me and putting us side by side and saying, well, they're the same. There's so many obvious differences that we are not the same. Right? Yeah. Obvious differences. Right? We are not the same. And it doesn't matter if everybody in this group would say, no, Lisa and Pat, Richard, they're the same. They just call her Lisa because, you know, they've given her, they just use a different verb to or adjective to describe her, but they're really the same. You're wrong. We're not the same. And everything about her, genetically, DNA, it's different. And the God of the Bible and the God of the Quran are two completely different entities. When the Quran describes the God that is revealed through the Quran, it's not the God of love. It's the God of hate. Kill the infidel. Does that sound like the God of the Bible? Does that sound like the God of the Bible? The Quran and the God revealed in the Quran says you can lie to people as long as it's for the cause of Allah. I want to make sure that I quote that right. As long as it's to further jihad and the cause of Allah, then it's okay to deceive people. That's what it says. It doesn't say lie, it says deceive. The God of the Bible says in the book of Revelation that all liars and deceivers will have their part in the lake of fire. Can you be any different than that? You got one at this end of the spectrum, you got one at this end of the spectrum, but yet people think and say that they're the same. They are not the same. They are not the same. That's the truth. There's one way to heaven. It doesn't matter what Tom Cruise says. There's only one way to. I like Tom Cruise. He makes good movies, but he's a bonehead. He does not know what he's talking about. But let me tell you, some people care more about Tom Cruise, and I don't know why. They've never even met him or shook his hand. I guarantee you he didn't bleed on Calvary's cross to save you from your sins. Who really gives a hoot what he thinks? But yet people are letting Hollywood and movie stars and different people persuade what they believe to be true. Absolute truth is this: Jesus is the only way to heaven. Amen. Another absolute truth is this: we're saved by grace, not of works. Another absolute truth. Look at me. It's an absolute truth. You know, in Pentecostal churches, there's a divide on this. I don't know why. It's as clear as can be in the Bible. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes the church with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's the truth. It doesn't become true when you agree with it. It's not false because your pastor says it's not that way. It's not true because I say it's that way. It's true because Acts chapter 2 and every chapter after that reveals to us that Jesus' will is to baptize his followers with the Holy Spirit and fire. It's true. Number 4, here's a truth. Those who have repented go to heaven. Those who have not, they go to hell. And it doesn't matter how nice they were, or how good they were, or how good of a job they had, or how much money they took with them. By the way, they didn't take it with them. Ask Will Reese. You can pull the U-Haul behind the hearse, but you can't take it to heaven or hell with you. We can load up all that stuff in your barn and pull it behind you, brother, but I guarantee you it ain't going with you, right? This guy's got more junk than anybody I've ever met. You should be on American Pickers. I'm going to call those guys and send them to your place, man. They'd have a heyday. He's got such cool stuff. I'm going to tell a little story. Me and my daughters went out there. You know, I'm so proud of you. I'm going to use you as an illustration on Sunday. Everybody complains. Everybody thinks, man, we need to see our church grow. Man, we need to change this so that there's only one thing that needs to change in order to see this church grow, and he's the example of it. Start inviting your friends. Go out and reach people. Call somebody up and tell them, will you come to church with me? Call somebody up that you know is struggling. And listen, if you don't know somebody who's struggling, get out every once in a while. Open up the door and step out into the real world where the rest of us live and find somebody that needs Jesus and reach out to them and bring them to Jesus. Let me ask you, you think the preacher needs to preach a better sermon in order for more people to get saved? Or the worship team needs to play a better set of songs in order for the church to grow? The church needs to do its job. The body of Christ needs to operate and fulfill its duties. And that's go out and make disciples of all nations. That's how the church grows. Doesn't have anything to do with music. I'm going to say it again. Has nothing. Nothing. Zilch. Zero. Nada. It doesn't have anything to do with music. It has to do with people hearing from God and being so excited about the truth that they've received and then going out and giving that truth away. Amen. That's what makes the church grow. Those who have repented go to heaven. Those who have not go to hell. Number five, if the Bible calls it sin, it's sin. And nobody can change that. And here's another one. If the Bible says you are, then you are. If the Bible says you are the righteousness of God, shut your mouth and say the same thing the Bible does. If the Bible says you are saved, shut your mouth and say what the Bible says. If the Bible, no, really. Everybody wants to sit around and try to convince God that they're some kind of awful sinner still. God said you are the righteousness of God. If the Bible said you are that, then you are that. The Bible says you're healed. Guess what? You're healed. The Bible says you're free. If you follow in the ways of Christ, then say you're free. Make sure that if the Bible says you are, that you believe you are. Amen. Number seven, if the Bible says you can, then you can. Right? If the Word of God says you can, then you can. Stop making excuses. Stop rationalizing things. Stop minimizing things. Do your part and God will do His. And even with these absolute truths, and this is what I really want to stress to you this evening, there are absolute truths, but there are other things that each person just needs to work out in their own lives. And this is where we are not working out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know, there's things in all of our lives that if we would just listen to God, if we would just pray, if we would just read the Word, if we would just do the things that every Christian should do, we would hear God. There wouldn't be so many divisions on topics if people would listen to God, because there's one God, one Spirit, one Jesus, one body. And God's not going to tell the body up the street something different than He tells the body down the street. God's not going to call and tell the body something different across the road than what He's telling the body on this side of the road. The body's not listening. I'm going to say that to you again. You know, in my life, I want to show you something. God has spoke things to me before that were so big, I knew they were going to get me in trouble with my wife. And so I simply said to God, God, Kelly and I are one flesh. And you wouldn't tell me something without telling her. And so I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you, God, begin to share with my wife the same things you're sharing with me. Begin to speak to her. Begin to draw her and lead her in the same direction you are me so that there's no division. And you know the interesting thing is? He does. I don't have to go and browbeat my wife and lord over her like some tyrant dictator, because she loves the Lord and she's listening to the Lord and she's praying and she's reading the Word of God, and we are one flesh, and she's hearing from God, and God's not going to tell her something different than he's telling me. Why? Because we're one flesh. You understand? We're one body. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
There are other things in each person's life that we need to work out. Habits. Everybody look up here at me. Things like smoking and chewing tobacco and drinking and all these things that you know, you become very divisive in churches. And people say, I'm not going to go to that church because they say drinking's a sin and I like to drink. Let me just tell you something, friend. If you would shut your mouth just long enough to listen to the Lord and find out what God says about drinking, you wouldn't have to find a new church. Maybe you could rise up and you could get the kind of freedom that God wants you to have and be free from everything. I'm going to say that to you again. Maybe you could rise up and actually become better than what you are and find out what real freedom. I'm not going to go to that church up the street because they say drinking's a sin. What would happen if you just get on your knees and pray about it? What would happen if you just listen to the Lord? See, there's things that people need to work out. But when it comes into certain areas of people's lives, they don't want to hear from God. Like Don told me a story. A friend of his called him up from Colorado where marijuana is legalized. Don's sponsoring him in the 12-step program. Am I breaking confidentiality, anonymity? Okay, I'm not saying, you didn't tell me no name, so I don't have to. I can say whatever I want. The guy says to him, hey, sponsor, marijuana is legal in Colorado. I'm in Colorado. Do you think it'd be okay if I smoked a little? Don said, the very fact that you had to call me for permission convinces you that it's wrong. Right? You already got the answer. If you felt like you had to get permission to do it. Philippians 2:12-13. Listen to what Paul said here. I'm going to read a couple verses from Paul about these issues here. He says in Philippians 2:12-13, therefore, my dear brothers, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, listen to what he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? What is he talking about there? Working out your salvation. Well, you're saved the minute you believe in Jesus. You receive salvation. But there are a lot of things that you have to figure out along the way. How do we interact with people? How do we handle our affairs? How do we treat people that we disagree with? How do we change our relation? And this is what people don't do. That's why they keep treating their wife the way they've always treated their wife. Cussing her out in the church parking lot. I've watched this happen out of this ministry on Thursday night. People come into, it sickens me to see people in the presence of God and then go outside and get on their cell phone and cuss their wife with 4-letter cuss words after being in the presence of God. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, how can sweet water and bitter water flow from the same mouth? I'll tell you how it does. People are not working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. They're not, because I'll tell you right now, you spend any time in God's presence, he's going to let you know not to talk to your wife that way. You ain't going to, I don't mean to meddle in your business, but your business is my business. I'm your pastor. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will you, to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Amen. See, God has a plan, and it doesn't end when you realize that he can save you. It begins. And God's desire and God's goal is for you to continue to listen to him, to seek him. See, when our lives are unraveling, we know we need a Savior, but when everything gets good, we seem to forget to continue to seek him. God wants us to keep seeing. I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've done went that route. And it's a subtle thing. And as you could testify, you don't just wake up one morning and decide, I'm going to do things my way. It's a slow, gradual slide. Little step here, little step there, and unintentional. It's not like we're just trying to rebel against God, but we start doing things our way. We're not praying. We're not reading the Word. We're not staying in his presence. We're not moving forward. And here's what you need to know about the kingdom. It's like an escalator. If you're not moving forward, I guarantee you, you're not staying in the same, you're moving backwards. God's always on the move. You understand what I'm saying? God's always moving. And you have to be moving forward. You have to keep moving too. Philippians 3, 15 and 16. Now listen to what Paul said here. This is what he said, and this is what I want to say to you, because I know some people would disagree with what I'm saying. And Paul knew that some people would. This is just the next chapter. He talks to them about, finding Christ and coming to know Christ and growing in a more personal relationship. I could read you the verses. I'm not making this up. He said, all those things that were to my benefit and gain, I consider them all a loss now for the sake of knowing Christ. I want to know him. I want to experience him more real. I want to share in his sufferings that I might attain the glory of his resurrection. He's talking about these things. And then he says these words. He says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of these things. And if on some point you think differently, listen, that too God will make clear to you. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? A lot of things that people differ on, but the reality is this. If people would just stop and continue to grow. I can remember one time, I'm going to use my grandma. She always gets picked on, doesn't she? I was preaching at a little church. I was young in the Lord. I really didn't know anything other than what Jesus had done in my life. And I used to preach in a hat, in a ball cap. And it used to agitate grandma. She'd tell me, boy. No, she never called me boy. She said, son, you shouldn't preach with a hat on. I didn't understand what grandma was saying. I thought, grandma, you're just old-fashioned. You know, she also said Elvis ruined the world when he shook his hips on TV. And I want you to know something. When grandma said that, I thought she was a basket case. Grandma, I agree. I want you to know you were right and I was wrong. That was the downfall of society when those things started to happen on television. And when it was. And you can't watch television now without, I'm talking soft pornography on every channel. Disney Channel stuff, 14-year-old girls and love relationships on Disney Channel, and that's what our kids are watching. And then we wonder why they're getting pregnant when they're teenagers. It's the truth. And guess what? It started somewhere, and you were right, Grandma. And here's the thing. Even in those areas that we may disagree in, if we persist in the Lord and if we continue to grow and mature, God begins to make clear to us those things. And they begin to make sense. And God begins to change us. And he begins to transform us. And I can remember back to the hat story. Grandma would say, son, you shouldn't preach in your hat. I disrespected my grandma. I said, Grandma, I'm going to preach in anyway. The Holy Ghost got a hold of my grandmother in the middle of the service. She came up to me shouting in tongues. She smacked that hat. My grandma's the most meek person. You all know her. She slapped the hat right off my head in the middle of the service. I thought, what in the world just possessed my grandma? It was the Holy Spirit. And listen to what happened. Now, I love my grandmother, and I would never do anything intentionally to dishonor her, but that was disrespectful. And it was disrespectful to talk to somebody like that, or not to talk to her, but to respond to somebody with that tone of attitude. I was reading the Word not that many weeks after that. This is how amazing God is. And I read a verse in the Bible I'd never read before. It said, a man of God should never prophesy with his head covered. It's exactly what it says. And I thought, my gosh, my grandma is the wisest woman I know. And I'm not ever going to question another thing that she says to me. Grandma, I've never told you the rest of that story. You just heard it for the first time. That's what happened. That's how it all played out. And I began to realize the things that I'm trying to teach you this evening. There are things that we, at times, can disagree on. Spiritual things. But here's the reality. If you are growing in a relationship with Jesus, and if you are open and tender and teachable, then you just may find out that Grandma was right too. You just may find out the senior saints were right about some things. Oh, senior saints love to hear that. Oh. John 8, 31 and 32. These are true things right here. There's a generational divide amongst us, but we're one body. And what wisdom is available to us young people if we would open up to it? And let me say this, if older people would be willing to transfer it. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. Not everybody has a grandmother like mine. It's the truth. But you look around at all these grandmothers in this church that could start grandmothering other people in this church, and that's the way it should work in the body of Christ. John 8, 31 and 32, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then, everybody say then. Then you will know the truth. Do you hear what he's saying? If you keep a relationship with me, if you persist, if you continue to read the word, if you continue to pray, if you keep going to church, even if you've been offended, even if you got your feelings hurt by something that crazy preacher said, if you just continue in my teachings, then you will come to know the truth. You'll come to know the truth. I know there's some people that don't like to hear me talk about homosexuality the way I do, but let me tell you something. Continue in his teachings. Just continue in his teachings, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The level of freedom that we possess in life is directly connected to the truth that we possess. I'll say that to you again. The level of freedom that we possess is directly connected to the level of truth that we possess. If you know the truth about healing, guess what? You get healed. If you know the truth about victory, guess what? You walk in it. If you know the truth about prosperity, then guess what? You prosper. If you know the truth about who you are in Christ, then guess what? You become transformed. If you don't know the truth about those things, you don't walk in the revelation or the fulfillment of that truth in your life. But the wonderful thing is, no matter where you are today, you can get the truth. Oh, glory to God. John chapter 4. In fact, I've already shared that with you. I want to talk to you real quickly. Pastor Lisa, would you come? Real quickly as we close. Talk to you real quickly about, because Jesus said, if you continue in my teachings, then you will know the truth. You know, we really do. Brian, would you come and play too? We're going to go back into a place of worship. I'm going to try to quit here real soon because I want everybody to have an opportunity to hear from the Lord. And go ahead, Dan. You want to play? Get on up there. Let's just close our eyes for a moment and let's just really be still before the Lord. We really need to hear from Jesus more than anything else. It will change the confusion in our lives into truth. It will change the areas that we disagree in. It will change our worldview. And we need a revival in that area. But I want you to know something. Prayer alone is not going to get it done. Prayer matters. But when only 19% of evangelicals have a biblical worldview, then we need something more than prayer. Christians need to start reading the Bible. Christians need to start reading the Word. Churchgoers need to start praying. Churchgoers need to get back to the simple things of our faith. Pray, read the Bible, go to church, disciple somebody, pour yourself out so that God can pour something new in. The simple things of our faith. A lot of people stop growing. I want to tell you why. Because they stop going. I'm going to say it again. A lot of people stop growing because they stop going. What do I mean by that? They stop giving themselves to others. They stop reaching out. They stop making that phone call to that young lady that they know is struggling. They stop reaching out to those old friends, family members that they know need Jesus. They stop going to places where they can build relationships with lost people. And they think that their four and no more is enough at the church. I got my four friends, that's all I need. I guarantee you, when you stop going, you stop growing. You know, that's why there are people who have gone to church for 20 plus years and heard some of the most anointed sermons ever preached, and are no different today than when they were the day they heard the first sermon preached. You stop going, you stop growing. I want to talk to you real quickly about some things that we need to start really praying to Jesus about. We need to start crying out to Jesus. Jesus, teach us your way. 19% of the body of Christ knows the way of Jesus. That means 81% has no clue. We need to say, Jesus, teach me your ways. Do you know the psalmist wrote that in Psalm 119? Teach me your ways that I might walk in them. We need to start praying to Jesus. Show us your heart. Teach me your ways. Show us your heart. Open our eyes and change our mind. Would you stand up on your feet? Would you lift up your hands in this place tonight? I'm going to ask you to do something. I can't be forceful with it. I can't make you do anything that you don't want to do, but would you do me a favor? Every person in this place, just lift up your hands to the Lord. You don't need to understand why. Just lift up your hands to the Lord. Asking you to do me a favor. Hold up your hands to the Lord, and we're going to sing to the Lord. We're going to cry out to the Lord together, because every person needs to do this. Everybody in this place, young and old and everybody in between, needs to do this. We need to hear from Jesus. We have really lost our way many times as a people, and we've lost our way. And we need to get back on the path. I want to say it again. We need to get back on the path. And you're not going to get back on the path because I tell you to get back on the path. You're not going to get back on the path because getting back on the path is the right thing to do. The only thing that will bring you back on the path is hearing Jesus call you to it.